Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those here in the room, those listening on the phone, and those joining us on the recording. I'm glad to have you in fellowship. Our God is wonderful and greatly to be praised. And praise his holy name for allowing us to safely make it through another week to another beautiful and wonderful, delightful Sabbath of the Lord. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is I Know Whom I Have Believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing me of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how God's perfect love led to repentance of my sin, nor why he freely forgave me and planted Christ within. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the vale with him, or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Amen. We need to have that same sure faith that we know whom we've believed, even though we've never seen him in the flesh, but we know he exists, that he is our God, and he is coming soon to take us home. And what an assurance of faith that will be when we possess it without a doubt and confess Jesus before others at all times and in all places. So praise God, dear ones. And it's time for opening prayer, and please join with me for that. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for thy watchful care, divine protection, and for thy tender love. Thank you for bringing us safely through to another Sabbath day, to another time where we can lay all of our burdens of this past week down and take up Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior, and our peace. Help us indeed to rest in him and be rejuvenated. Please restore our faith, restore our energy, restore our contentment in Jesus. Take away all worry, anxiety, all distress, gloom, and replace it with your assurance of peace, with your love, compassion, tender-heartedness. Help us indeed to receive the blessing that you hold out to each one of us on each Sabbath day. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask for your presence, dear Father, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, as well as heavenly angels, to be all around us. We open our heart, dear Savior, to let you take the throne. Please come in and dwell with us. Dear Spirit, we also ask for your power to convince us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Please be our teacher to lead and guide us into all truth. Please reprove and correct our understanding that we may lay aside all preconceived ideas, opinions, erroneous views, that we might indeed see and follow the straight, clear, narrow, upward pathway of truth. We don't want anything between Jesus and us, so please remove it all. Refine and purify us, and let our light shine brighter than it did yesterday. We want to uplift and glorify Jesus more than we did in the past. Thank you for helping this to be achieved, and indeed for His glory to fill a greater area of this earth. And we claim the promise in Habakkuk 2:14 that as the waters cover the sea, so thy glory will fill this earth. So we thank you for hearing and answering these prayers, for being here in our midst. We also ask, dear Savior, that as you're the great deliverer and physician, that you will please hear and answer the prayers and petitions that have been sent to you, to our Father, with healing, rejuvenation, deliverance from either physical, mental, or spiritual ills, all according to thy perfect will and timing. And thank you so much for doing so. It is in thy name we pray. Amen. So praise God for the privilege of prayer, dear ones. And thank you, dear Father, for not allowing the Sabbath to end before all prayers made on this great memorial of your creationary power ends. What a precious promise that is. Well, we're in the book Prophets and Kings, chapter 31, titled Hope for the Heathen. And we left off last time, about a third of the way down on page 370 to the paragraph that starts out, in the years that followed. And the last thing that we were discussing is that because Christ died on the cross, fulfilled the old covenant of types and symbols, and set that whole system aside, then there's no longer any particular race of chosen people or nationality of chosen people. There's no particular one centralized church position that all people must attend three times a year in order to worship God, because through Christ, every single human being has direct connection with God. So it doesn't matter where they are on this earth. It doesn't matter what color their skin, what gender they are. It doesn't matter whether they're a child or elderly. It doesn't matter anything regarding their position in society or lack thereof that matters with God. Because through Christ, we all have direct and free access to our Father. So when anyone comes to you trying to get you to believe that you have to go back in keeping any of the Old Testament forms and ceremonies or rituals or practices in order to be a favorite with God, you know that they're not a worker for Christ. They're actually working against Christ because they're trying to bring back some kind of favoritism to a particular group of people. Christ died on the cross to destroy that whole prospect of favoritism with God. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, because we're all one through Jesus Christ with our Father. So that was the last thing that we were discussing regarding this book. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. In the years that followed the occupation of the Promised Land, the beneficent designs of Jehovah for the salvation of the heathen were almost wholly lost sight of. And it became necessary for him to set forth his plan anew. All the ends of the world, the psalmist was inspired to sing, shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all kings of the earth thy glory. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. That was taken from Psalms 22, 27, 68, 31, 102, verse 15, and then 18 through 22. Any thoughts, comments, insights on this paragraph, Duane? Please go right ahead. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Had Israel been true to her trust, all the nations of the earth would have shared in her blessings. But the hearts of those to whom had been entrusted a knowledge of saving truth were untouched by the needs of those around them. As God's purpose was lost sight of, the heathen came to be looked upon as beyond the pale of his mercy. The light of truth was withheld, and darkness prevailed. The nations were overspread with a veil of ignorance. The love of God was little known. Error and superstition flourished.
Amen.
Amen. Any comments, thoughts, insights on this paragraph, dear one? So it says here that as God's purpose was lost sight of, what was God's purpose? Amen. that Israel, his chosen people, would reflect his glory, would share his truth, would let their light shine to all the nations of the heathen around them. But when their hearts became unaffected by the needs of others, and God's purpose for them to let their light shine in good deeds, in spreading the truth to others, was overlooked or ignored and then forgotten, then those around them came to be looked upon as unable to be saved. They were without, beyond the pale of God's mercy. So since they were looked upon as being unsavable, then Israel started to hoard everything within themselves. The truth was not shared with anyone outside of their ranks. Their financial transactions were mostly shared or taken place among themselves, with the heathen being ignored except in cases of emergency. So the interaction in buying and selling was one way in which Israel could share the blessings, could extend the truth to others through their business transactions. But since Israel now were only looking to themselves and ignoring others, then they started dealing only with themselves. And so darkness was prevailing, and it was affecting even the Israelites. So the love of God was little known. And that was just as the devil wanted. Because now his error and superstition connected with the mysteries of Babylon was allowed to flourish unchecked. And it was even making inroads among the Israelites. So how is God going to try to change the thinking, the outlook of his people, to get them to recognize that they were to be his witnesses instead of withholding the truth? Well, let's see. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Such was the prospect that greeted Isaiah when he was called to the prophetic mission. Yet he was not discouraged, for ringing in his ears was the triumphal chorus of the angels surrounding the throne of God. The whole earth is full of his glory, Isaiah 6:3. And his faith was strengthened by visions of glorious conquest by the church of God, when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, Isaiah 11:9. The face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations was finally to be destroyed, Isaiah 25:7. The Spirit of God was to be poured out upon all flesh. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness were to be numbered among the Israel of God. Were to be numbered among the Israel of God, yes. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses, said the prophet. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Isaiah 44, verses 4 and 5.
Amen. So God was going to intervene, and one of the ways he intervened was by giving prophetic visions to his prophets, in this particular case, Isaiah. And to Isaiah was revealed that it wasn't just going to be Israel that was full of the glory of God, but the entire earth. That would include the heathen or the Gentiles, right? And that made Isaiah happy. It took away some of his discouragement and allowed him to recognize that this message of salvation in the God of Israel, the great I Am, the Holy One, was going to be known and accepted by more than just the Israelites. What else was God going to do to try and change the course of the darkness that his people were content to allow to be around them? Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Say the prophet was given a revelation of the beneficent design of God in scattering impenitent Judah among the nations of earth. My people shall know my name, the Lord declared. They shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Isaiah 52 verse 6. And not only were they themselves to learn the lesson of obedience and trust in their places of exile, they were also to impart to others a knowledge of the living God. Many from among the sons of the strangers were to learn to love him as their creator and their redeemer. They were to begin the observance of his holy Sabbath day as a memorial of his creative power, and when he should make bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, to deliver his people from captivity, all the ends of the earth should see of the salvation of God. Verse 10. Many of these converts from heathenism would wish to unite themselves fully with the Israelites and accompany them on the return journey to Judea. None of these were to say, "The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people," Isaiah 56 verse 3. For the word of God through his prophet to those who should yield themselves to him and observe his law was that they should thenceforth be numbered among spiritual Israel, his church on earth.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So one way that God was going to change the course of things was by allowing his people to be conquered, to be taken away from their promised land, and taken into heathen lands so that then they would be able to witness among those heathen peoples. They would still want to keep the Sabbath, right? They would still want to keep God's Ten Commandments, whereas those around them would not. So that was an opportunity for the truth to spread. But also when God would work upon the rulers in these heathen nations to allow his people to return back to the promised land, that would be another opportunity for the heathen to learn more about such a great, loving, compassionate God who could forgive his people apostasy and bring them back home after they had been conquered. I mean, that was something almost unheard of for any ruler over a conquered people that had been removed from their home, to all of a sudden say, well, you know, I'm going to let you go back. In fact, I'm even going to pay your way back. So, I mean, that could not help but be noticed, and questions generated about it. Why would the king of Persia want to do that, right? And so then the prophecies that God had given Isaiah and Jeremiah would be learned about. And as those prophecies were given many decades before the actual event had occurred, then they would recognize that the God of Israel knows the future. 100% accuracy. And that was unheard of among any of the so-called gods of the heathen. So this shows us that if we refuse to do the work that God in mercy has given us, then he's going to work things out in which we may be removed from our area, taken to a completely different area that we wouldn't want to be in on our own choice, so that God may work a miracle and other people will know about it. So if you don't want to be removed from where you are, if you're happy where you are, then make sure you're doing everything you can to spread the message of truth to others. Yeah, amen. What wisdom. So God didn't cast his people away because he allowed them to be conquered and removed from their homes. It was actually just the opposite. He loved them too much to continue blessing them when they were perverting the blessings. So they had to recognize that they were doing wrong. They had to recognize that they needed him. They needed God. And the only way for them to recognize that was to go through severe adversity. Any comments, thoughts, questions, please feel free. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Sons of a stranger, they join themselves to the Lord and serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will gather all others to please him, please others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. Verse 6, 8.
Yeah. Thank you, dear sister. So in Isaiah is found very clear prophecies in which God accepts the sons of strangers who join themselves to him, who serve him, who love him, who want to be his servants, and who keep his Sabbath from polluting it. In other words, they keep it holy, and taketh hold of his covenant. God will connect them directly with his worship. In his house. And that was one thing that the Israelites, including today, reject. They believe that it will pollute their sacred temple area for any non-Israelites to come there to worship God and to pray to him. And yet here we have verses in a prophet that they accept, Isaiah, that God will accept the sons of strangers, that he will gather others besides the Israelites unto him. So you still have the Israelites showing this isolationism from those who they term to be Gentiles or heathen. And here we have God saying just the opposite, that any of those Gentiles or heathen that choose to worship him on his Sabbath, choose to take hold of his covenant, to join themselves to God, are welcome in his house of prayer. So who are you going to believe? The God of Israel or the Israelites? Quite a choice. And that's sort of the same choice we have today. God calls his people out of Babylon, come out of her, my people. And you have those very churches saying you can only find God in the church. So you have to stay in. And if you're not part of our church, then you're not connected with God. So you have basically the same type of situation occurring today that was occurring back then. Amen. God is always the best choice. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The prophet was permitted to look down the centuries to the time of the advent of the promised Messiah. At first, he beheld only trouble and darkness. Dimness of anguish, Isaiah 8:22. Many who were longing for the light of truth were being led astray by false teachers into the bewildering mazes of philosophy and spiritism. Others were placing their trust in a form of godliness, but were not bringing true holiness into the life practice. The outlook seemed hopeless. But soon the scene changed, and before the eyes of the prophet was spread a wondrous vision. He saw the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and lost in admiration, he exclaimed, "The dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations." The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2.
Amen. Amen. So, who was going to bring about an end to the division between Israelite and the strangers or the Gentiles or the heathen? It was at the time of the advent of the promised Messiah. The Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. What was going to be healed? Any ideas? Yeah, their souls would be healed, yes. But the Israelites were excluding the strangers, were excluding the Gentiles. They were excluding the heathen from having any kind of connection with the God of Israel. So Isaiah was permitted to look centuries down into the future to when Jesus would come as the Messiah. And he saw, brought out before him in vision, that Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, would bring healing to all peoples under his wings. So in Jesus, every individual that would come under his wings, under his influence, right, would be connected with the God of Israel. So then there would no longer be the dividing line between Jew and Gentile. There would no longer be a difference between one person having connection with God and another person having connection with God, if they both accepted Jesus as that connecting link. So Jesus heals the divisions. And when you're healed of a disease, that disease is removed. It's taken away. So then you've been delivered from it. And thus Jesus is the great deliverer. But you have the devil working upon individuals to reject the Messiah. They don't want to be united with strangers, with Gentiles. They want to hoard salvation and keep it for themselves. They're still in darkness. They're not allowing the Son of Righteousness to dispel that darkness. They're still in the land of the shadow of death. And there's no hope for them as long as they reject the idea as well as the truth that Jesus takes away all divisions and allows you through him to be connected with the Father. So the Gentiles did not need to join the church at Jerusalem in order to be connected with God. All they had to join was Jesus. So then they didn't need to go to Jerusalem. which means they didn't need to give their money in gifts and offerings and tithes to the church at Jerusalem. And so the more people that accepted Jesus as the Messiah was not very profitable for the church at Jerusalem. It's still not very profitable for any of the established denominations today. If you can worship God in your very home through Jesus, then you don't need to go to the Church of the Nazarenes to worship God, right? You don't need to go to any denomination to worship God. So it's not very profitable to be preaching that kind of doctrine, is it? And yet, that's the very doctrine that the people need most. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have the church, you don't have life. Any thoughts, comments, questions, insights, dear one? Continuing, this glorious light of the world was to bring salvation to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Of the work before him, the prophet heard the eternal Father declare, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, separate. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves." In other words, come to the light. "Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim." Isaiah 49, 6, 8, 9, and 12. Any comments, thoughts, insights, Derwent? When God separated Israel from Egyptian bondage, he gave them a covenant. That covenant included a whole lot of various rituals, practices, ceremonies connected with it. It was known as the Old Covenant. But Jesus would be given by the Father as a covenant to the people. So the old covenant was set aside in Jesus, and a new covenant was established in Jesus. And this new covenant, Jesus would establish throughout the entire earth, even to the desolate places, and to all the prisoners, whether in sin or in bondage to men, that they were to go forth. All of those that were in darkness were to come to Jesus for the light. And all the people, especially from the north, that was where Babylon was, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, I imagine that might have been east or perhaps south. In other words, all over the earth, people were to find in Jesus a new covenant, direct connection with the Father. The old covenant, you had to go to Jerusalem to connect yourself with God. The new covenant, all you have to do is go to Jesus to connect yourself with God. But not everyone desires a new covenant. And it's the same today. Any thoughts, comments, insights, questions? Please go right ahead. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Looking on still farther through the ages, the prophet beheld the literal fulfillment of these glorious promises. He saw the bearers of the glad tidings, the salvation going to the ends of the earth. To every kindred and people, he heard the Lord saying of the gospel church, "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." And he heard the commission, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles," Isaiah 66:12 or 54:2-3.
Amen. Well, thank you, dear brother. Any thoughts, comments, anything you'd like to share on this paragraph, dear one? Well, notice this sentence here. Isaiah heard the Lord saying of the gospel church, "I will extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." Who is this gospel church? Any idea? comment says Jewish / Christian. Well, I mean, the gospel was given to the Jews and then it was, or the Israelites, and then it was also given to the early Christians. Another comment, those following God. Okay. So does this gospel church have a name? Notice it says Isaiah saw the bearers, that's individuals, of the glad tidings of salvation going to the ends of the earth. And he heard the Lord saying of the gospel church. So we see that the gospel church here is not in the aspect of a group of people that are associating together under one particular name. It represents the bearers of the glad tidings of salvation. The bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are part of the gospel church. To these individuals, God extends peace like a river. And they're not to be content with just sharing the gospel in their local vicinities. They're to enlarge their area. They're to let their curtains of their homes open up. They're not to spare. They're to allow the sharing of the gospel to go far and wide and not be limited in scope. So the people here in this home church, this church itself is not a gospel church. The people that make it up can be part of that gospel church if they connect themselves with Jesus and then bear the glad tidings of salvation to those around them. That's one of the main differences between the Old and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was you had to go to a fixed temple, Jerusalem, and worship God there. The New Covenant, there is no fixed place of worship. Because individuals, through Christ, can worship God wherever they may be. And it's extremely difficult for some to give up the Old Covenant view and embrace the New Covenant view. But Jesus makes it easy. If you accept Jesus, then there's no longer a fixed place for you to go to in order to worship God. Jesus has delivered you from the old covenant viewpoint. He has arisen with healing in his wings. He extends to you peace, but you can't have peace if you believe you have to go to a set denominational gathering before you can worship God. There's no peace there. So we're people of the new covenant. And what glorious light and blessings God holds out to each one of us. If we will let our light shine to everyone, cast our bread upon the waters, right, that are flowing by. Don't hold it to yourself and just throw it in the ponds that have no outlet, right? Throw it on the water. Spread thy seed, even if some of it lands on the wayside and the stony ground. Throw it out there. And God will take care of the result, the harvest. Any final thoughts or comments, dear ones? Yeah, amen. The comment in the room says, each new level of light brings us closer to God. Amen.
Elder Bob, have we finished the reading? Because I've got a question going right back to the third paragraph. I apologize for that. I was a bit slow. But there's a the quote from Isaiah I didn't fully understand.
Okay, so farther back, dear sister?
Yes. The end of paragraph 3.
This paragraph or the one before it?
The one that says, such was the prospect.
Okay. So at the end of this one?
Yes, that can be. That's fine. Yeah. Isaiah's quote at the end. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. I'm sorry, but I don't understand all of those differences. I'm the Lord's, Jacob, and Israel.
Oh, thank you, sister. Yeah, it's my understanding that when God would deliver his people from Babylon back under the old covenant, that those that would recognize that God was working miracles for his people would also want to know more about the God of Israel. And so they would join themselves with them in going to Jerusalem and worshiping God. So one shall say, I am the Lord's, I'm following God. And another would call himself by the name of Jacob, which of course we know is Israel. And another would subscribe his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. So you have them under the old covenant, awaking to the aspect that the God of Israel is the true God, and they would then want to join themselves to the Lord and to his people in that particular time period. Any other thoughts or comments in answering our dear sister's question? Well, I mean, you could look at it from a spiritual aspect. Instead of calling yourself by the name of Jacob and by the surname of Israel, that it would be referring to spiritual. But I think as we follow the context of what's being brought out here, it was dealing with the old covenant and people joining themselves to the God of Israel, Israel being not spiritual, but literal. The next paragraph brings out the fact about the scattering there into Babylon and other nations and how God would bring, deliver his people from captivity. And that would be a great way to awaken the heathen to the aspect that the God of Israel was the true God. And then as we continue down through this chapter, it brought up the aspect about the glorious light of the world. Of course, we know that to be Jesus coming to the Messiah. So as you follow the context in history, you can see that these verses here that our dear sister was bringing up would be referring to that time in which the literal heathen would join themselves literally to Israel. Let's see, that would be down here.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
So if we look at it in the spiritual context, right, we know that the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. We saw that the Spirit of God was poured out there dealing with the Messiah. There was also an outpouring of the Spirit of God working upon the hearts, bringing individuals to join with Ezra and Nehemiah and going back to build up Old Jerusalem and the church there. But if we look at it spiritually now, all who hunger and thirst after righteousness were to be numbered among the spiritual Israel of God. So we see that the same thing has taken place in the past under the Old Covenant, took place in the beginning of the New Covenant, and would continue to take place in this New Covenant. So when the Spirit of God is poured out and the seed germinates, then there's going to spring forth new, fresh growth. Just as the grass does when the seed is germinated by the proper amount of moisture and warmth from the sun. And when that happens, you're going to have individuals say, I am the Lord's, not I am a member of the Catholic Church. Or I'm a member of the Adventist Church, but I am the Lord's. So even back under the Old Covenant, the people were being supposed to be connected with the Lord. So here we have spiritual Israel. That was another name for Jacob. So we see this same scenario occurring in the past, historically, under the Old Covenant, occurring in the past, historically, in the beginning of the New Covenant, and continuing to occur in the present and even the future. And when individuals hunger and thirst after righteousness, and are led directly to Jesus by the Spirit of God, that's his office work. That's his job, to point us to the Savior, right? When they're led directly to the Son of Righteousness, they're the Lord's people. But then the devil gets right in there, and he says, you're not really baptized into Christ because you're baptized into the church in membership. And by becoming a member of the church, you become a member of Christ's body and then join the Lord. So the devil gets people to believe that membership in a church denomination allows them to become joined to Christ. But that's not the gospel. That's not God's purpose, even back under the old covenant. Their covenant was with God. Their covenant was not with Israel and then with God. Yeah, amen. Comment in the room says, people look to man or a church instead of to God. Amen. And it was never God's purpose for that to take place. That's why God delivered Israel from man-controlled bondage in Egypt. Brought him out into the wilderness. And over and over and over and over, God tried to get them to recognize that they were his people, connected to him by the covenant. Not that they were Israel's people and connected to God through them. Yeah, you're right. Comment says that's one of the things that puts people to sleep. Yeah, if you believe that all you have to do is be a member in good standing in a church, then you allow the leaders of the church to take over in your relationship with God. So you don't have to do anything except give the church your money, give the church your time, give the church your present, you know, your personal presence, and then let them do the rest. But on an individual salvational basis, you are the Lord's in person. Now there's a responsibility. Well, how does God want me to act? What does God want me to say? What does he want me to do? How does he want me to think and live? Now that personal connection with God brings personal responsibility. That means conversion, or it's supposed to mean conversion. But remember, only those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Those who don't hunger and thirst, even though they may call themselves the Lord's, will not be filled. So there's a physical application of this verse, and there's a spiritual application. And you'll find that a lot in Scripture. You'll see the physical, how it applied, the literal, right? And then you'll notice there's a spiritual application. Yeah, amen. Comment, we need to sup with Christ on the word, or the bread of life. Revelation 3. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free. So when it comes to the gospel, don't close it in, but let it go out as far and as wide as possible. And God will take care of the harvest. Well, next time we'll pick it up at this new paragraph that is pretty close to the bottom of page 374 that starts out, Jehovah declared. And we'll find out more what the God of Israel declared. Are there any other thoughts or comments, any testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
I have a testimony that I'm very happy to share with you all in relation to my daughter. And I thank the Lord and all of you who have been praying for her. She's doing very, very well. I think Brother James may have told you a couple of weeks ago that they had to take out a piece of her skull. They replaced it with a titanium plate. But we'd been told by the doctor right back at the beginning she might never, you know, be normal again, whatever normal means. But when I saw her last week, she was doing very well. She understood everything we said, and she answered appropriately almost all the time. So I think we're very close to a big miracle. Thanks to the Lord and you, and I do thank you and ask you to continue praying, please.
Praise God indeed. We will definitely continue praying for her and lifting her up. And may this indeed be a way to reach her heart with gratitude to the mighty Savior who has healed her, or at least brought her through that valley of the shadow of death and given her another chance.
And one thing I meant to add, and it's really important, every time I see her, I let her know that our online family is praying for her, and except right at the beginning, she always smiles and nods and understands. So that's very lovely.
Oh, praise God. Praise God indeed. Thank you for letting us know the good news, dear sister. That is very, very heartening. And looking forward to her getting back a normalcy. And, of course, that's hopefully that's in the near future. Yeah, amen. God does indeed answer prayers. Indeed, he's a living God. I got some other news regarding my brother-in-law, Ken. He's still intubated. They were going to take him off of the breathing machine yesterday, but they decided to keep him on a little longer. He is improving, but he's not quite to the point where they can let him go back to his body fighting it off just himself without any kind of assistance. So we appreciate your continued prayers in his behalf. And also for my sister, as she's going through this turmoil and uncertainty. But my sister sends her great appreciation for prayers, her thankfulness, and may we continue to do so. And thank you, dear ones. There was a question put in the room earlier. I tried to join the Wednesday night presentation, but it wasn't going on. Are you still doing Wednesday night services? At the moment, We've had to cancel our Wednesday night services until a future time when God impresses upon the heart of an individual to take up that important meeting time. So at the moment, I'm not able to do Wednesday services and Friday and Sabbath services. And so we've had to let it go until God brings up another individual to do that. And perhaps the Lord will answer those prayers in the near future. So sorry, dear brother, about trying to get in, but the room was not open. Any other thoughts, comments, testimonies, insights, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Yeah, there's time for a hymn. Go right ahead.
Blessings, everyone. Do you know the hymn, Whisper a Prayer in the Morning? My sister and I used to sing that. And you want to sing Whisper a Prayer in the Morning? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in evening to keep your heart in tune. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Was this the hymn that you were thinking of, dear brother? And can it be? Oh, sorry about that. Yeah,
I was thinking, what's a song that has "And Can It Be" in it? And this this hymn came to mind. Which one are you talking about? We can sing this one if you like us to. Sure. Oh, solemn thought, and can it be the hour of judgment now is come, which soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom. Yes, it is so, the judgment hour is swiftly hastening to its close. Then will the judge in mighty power descend in vengeance on his foes.
He who came down to earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and cherubim to plead his blood for saints and make the last remembrance of their sin.
The solemn moment is at hand when we who have his name confessed, each in their lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. Jesus, we hope in thee alone. In mercy now upon us look. Confess our names before the throne and blot our sins from out our book.
Blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal and aid us by thy Spirit's power, that we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict valiantly. Then on Mount Zion join the song and swell the notes of victory.
Amen. All and only made possible by Jesus. Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts, comments, testimonies, songs Anything else you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please feel free, dear ones. And who would like to close? Please go right ahead.
Almost like loving Father. We thank you once again for this wonderful morning and evening that we have been able to join in a virtual fellowship learning from you, from your word. We thank you that you prepared the word for you. We thank you for your son who gave his blood for our own sake. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who always leads us to be edified and to comprehend you. We pray that when Christ comes the second time, we'll be among those who are saved to go and praise you forever and ever. Lord, as we continue to learn from you, we pray that may your glory shine upon us and that we may be able to enlighten the whole world with your word. Lord, we thank you for let there be Light Ministries. We pray that you bless everyone always who join and who always speak words that help us to stand still in these villas days. We believe we know Christ is soon to come and we are in the villas days of this earth's history and that many events are rolling to show us, to indicate, to signify that our dear Savior is soon to come. Lord, we pray that may we stand still in these various days when things are very hard and that Christ is working very hard to see that he pulls us from the message of truth. May you, dear Lord, strengthen us to stand still in these various days and that we know many among us have different afflictions of the time. Others are sickly. Others are in areas of war. Others are in areas where they feel they have nothing to eat. Lord, we pray that you stand with us all. Those who are sickly, heal them that they may know that you are a mighty doctor who heals everybody. Those in areas of war, Lord, stand by them that they may know that you are their protector, your refuge, that when things are hard, they come to you. Lord, we pray most willingly to do your will and that, Lord, let your will be done among us. And may we be able to manifest your presence among us that people may know clearly and learn from our own characters to reflect your characters. We thank you that you have heard us. And in many times that we don't pray rightly, Lord, you provide. And let whatever you have provided unto us be done according to your will. And that the world will understand that you are a God among us. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have made all these innovations among us. May they, most of the Zoom program, be a depiction to show that one day we shall be in your guidance under one Lord and that we are soon to come into heaven. This signifying that you'll be our master at one time when Christ comes. May he continue to be our master, always to lead us always by the power of the Holy Spirit, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, until we meet again, continue growing in grace.
For us, get through this.
Continue looking up to God. Continue growing in Jesus Christ and building that bond of union, and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Amen.